on KFH.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily on KFH. Tommy Caster and Paul Savage, TJ Cleland from 12 News and Ketchup Kansas continues here with us on the program. Hopefully, fellas, you guys were able to catch your breath a little bit during the break as we get in talking high school football. TJ, we've got a lot to talk about in the high school football world, you know, especially the City League games, the game of the week from a week ago with Northwest and East, that whole game and everything. But where I want to get started, and really the only reason that I want to bring this up first, is because out my window right now, I can see the stadium. And so it's top of mind for me. Andover, their game a week ago against Mays, that was a big win for Andover. Is this program for real? We talked last week about how they very nearly got a win in week one. It definitely seems like this program that was down in the dumps a season ago is now starting to turn things around.
Yeah, I'm glad we're starting with that, because that was going to be my main point. Is even though my picks were terrible last week, I said that Mays better be on the lookout because Andover could get that one done. So yeah. It happened here on KFH. Go back, look at the podcast. It's there. I think that Andover, like we said, we've covered them for the past couple of years. I know last year was an 0-9 year. The year before, they only won a couple. We've watched them play a couple of times, and they felt like they lost a lot of one-score games. They had a lot of talent on these teams. They bring a lot of that talent back this year. They get a new coach. May have been the refresh that they needed. They nearly beat Capen in week one, a team that went to the state championship. They beat Mays, who's historically awesome. This week they play Goddard. Week one, Goddard beat Mays by 4 points. It was 7-3 in that one. So very well, if the Andover offense shows up, we can see them win another one and win back-to-back games, which sounds unheard of that we talked about a year ago. We went out, Rachel Hallam, our reporter, went and talked to them this week. We did a story on them, and it was the best story I've heard in a couple of weeks, is that they were saying, like, what a time to be alive. It's a high. We were crying in the stands. It's the best part about high school football.
Paul, not to bring up bad memories here. So last week, of course, you were on the sideline for Northwest and East. Of course, you're on the East side, but Northwest came in. It was a defensive battle, low scoring game, as Northwest gets the win 14-0. Definitely valiant effort by the Blue Aces. What were your big takeaways from that matchup a week ago?
Well, I thought it was a fairly even matched football game. I mean, we gave up, East gave up two long plays, but you know something? Sometimes you have to stop those kind of plays. But it was a fun game to coach in, and I really enjoyed it a lot. It was a physical football game. And one of the games that kind of interests me this week is Junction City and Northwest. Junction City pretty good. Northwest is pretty good. I think Northwest will probably win this game, but any feel on that game? Because this is a big 6A game, Junction City and Northwest. I mean, you know, we always hear about the teams on the east side of the state. I guess Junction City, is that east side of the state? I think it
It is.
Okay. But anyway, I think that's a big game. The other interesting thing that I saw this week is that, and TJ, you can address this. It's interesting that Wellington is still ranked as one of the ranked teams in 3A. I find that fascinating. They're 0-2.
Yeah.
And yet they're still ranked. Why is that?
Yeah, they're our game of the week this week. We're going to be down there watching them play Clearwater. Clearwater has had a little bit of woes. I know last year I think they won two or three games. They're off to a 2-0 start. They moved their star wide receiver. He's playing quarterback this year. So maybe it's a different team that we've seen. And for that reason, it's our game of the week. It's a 2-0 team that has proven that they may be a different team. And Wellington's 0-2, and they're ranked. But they're ranked because they lost to Collegiate by 2 points, I think. They lost to Andale by a touchdown and had them on the ropes the entire game. They were leading in the fourth quarter in both of those games and have just fallen short. Looking at their schedule, I wouldn't be surprised if Wellington wins every single game the rest of the way until the playoffs. They're really good. Their quarterback is one of the best in the state, Dusty Bannister. They got a really good wide receiver named Carter Burnett. I watched them in that Collegiate game, and they looked like freaking Patrick Mahomes, Texas Tech offense, just going full air raid mode. They throw the hell out of the football. Right. They were really fun team to watch. Now, it should be an exciting one.
By the way, Tommy, that quarterback for Wellington threw against Andale. That's a good football team defensively. Threw for 480 yards.
Yeah.
480 yards in a high school game. I mean, when was the last time you saw that? I don't even know that I've ever seen it personally live. I've never seen that. So they are good. I guess that answers my question. Why are they still ranked? They're darn good.
Damn right.
Yeah, and you know what? Andale, credit to them because they survived that shootout against Wellington. Andale back at home tonight taking on Rose Hill. Another game, Paul, that you're involved with tonight with East taking on Capen. I know we've talked about it before, the respect that that you have for Weston Shartz taking over the Capen program a couple of years ago. You know, Capen, as TJ mentioned a few minutes ago, they made it to the state championship game a year ago. Maybe not quite as talented because they lost some of their key performers from last year to this year. What's the biggest challenge that the Blue Aces, as you guys are preparing for this game, look to try to stop Capen?
It's the same thing that every coach, TJ, make a note of this, because every coach, whenever they play Capen, they're probably going to tell you the same thing. We stop power off tackle, we stop ISO, we stop trap, and we stop toss. If you can stop those four plays, you have a chance of beating Capen. The problem is stopping them. That's the problem. Because you know they're coming, and they do it anyway. So that's the problem. TJ, I think you'd probably agree that Capen is one of those teams that says, here's what we're going to do. We dare you to stop us. Am I far off on that?
Yeah, I haven't watched them play this year, but just watching them play when Omari Elias was playing running back for them, that's exactly right. I remember last year watching them play against Northwest in probably one of the best games of the year. They found themselves like 3rd and 15, right, and like, we're going to trap it up the middle, and he's going to run for 30
right.
yards. And it's absurd how well that they do it. And
I know
what they're going to do.
Tell me about it.
I haven't seen what it looks like without Omari Elias back there. I imagine it has to drop off a little bit when you lose the city's all-time leading rusher. So I don't know what the offense looks like. Tonight's going to be the biggest test that they've faced so far against that East defense that has so many playmakers.
You know, we kicked off the segment by talking about Andover. Of course, they beat Mays last week. Mays is back home this weekend taking on Hutchinson in a big 6A matchup. You know, obviously, TJ, historically, Hutchinson's been a pretty strong program. I know they've already played Derby this season. Now they're on the road taking on Mays. Is this a game that you think Mays can bounce back from their loss against Andover a week ago, or is Hutchinson just too powerful?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. You know, we really touted Hutchinson up to be a really great team. I'm not sure. I know Terrell King, he's their cornerback slash wide receiver slash running back, the guy that drives the bus to the games, everything like that. He was injured week one. I think he was in week two as well. So completely different team. I mean, you don't have that kind of player on the field. That we saw him lose by multiple scores to Andover Central in week one when he wasn't out there. So if he's without him, this could be a game that Mays could bounce back against them. But there's still a lot of talent there as well. But even though Mays lost two games they probably should have won, they've got one of the fastest dudes in the state in their wide receiver room in Bryson Hayes. And they just need to find ways to get him the football, and the offense will click, I think. I think that we saw what they've done with this offense when they went to the state championship back-to-back years. It's the same coaching staff. It's everything. They just need to – I know that you don't have Avery Johnson playing quarterback.
Right.
But still a lot of talent, a lot of great things that can happen for the Mays Eagles. I don't think the season's over yet, and they showed that last year.
Hey, yeah, that's – I mean, look, I think just real quick, Paul, I mean, you drop off. And I think people, you know, not that you forget about it, but – like you just expect Mays and programs like that when they've got super talented players to just continue as just a factory. Avery Johnson is one of one, right? And so it makes it that much more difficult when you've got to try to replace him at quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I know that last year they had Drew Kemp. He went down with an injury, and they kind of had to fall back to a dude that was a true freshman last year.
Yeah.
And Pierce, I can't remember his last name. I know his first name's Pierce. He was a true freshman last year. He's gotten some snaps back there this year. And it seems like the offense just hasn't really figured it out. I talked to Coach Guzman before the season started, and they said they're going to have to get creative. You know, when you have a Nebraska commit in your offense somewhere, you got to find a way to get him more involved, whether that's putting him a running back, putting him a wide receiver. And there's a lot of guys on this team that are going to be playing on Saturdays, at whatever level that may be. There's just something that needs to click. But, you know, last year, like I said, they were not a great team. They lost a lot of games and still found a way to win two or three playoff games late down the stretch. So I think that it's a tough start for them, but it's not over yet.
You know, TJ, I'd love you to give me the top two or three, let's say three guys, three players in Kansas right now, the three highest recruited kids that you're aware of, and there's a number of them, but give me your top three most highly recruited players in the state of Kansas. Doesn't matter what position, doesn't matter what class they're in, doesn't matter what school. What are your top three most highly recruited kids?
Yeah, just for kids in our area, at least, I can't be that much to vouch for the eastern side of the state. But obviously, when you look at Goodland, you got Lincoln Kure out there, and he's a freak in everything that happens out there.
That's right.
He's awesome. But even just keeping it in the Wichita area, I think that Desaun Brame, the tight end from Derby, is probably one of the best that you'll see in the city. I know he was committed to Oregon. He flipped to Tennessee. Watching him last year, you're like, that's a dude that you're probably going to be seeing play football for a long time, past the next level. I think that he's got that kind of frame and everything goes right at the next level. We could see him play on Sundays, maybe. That's a big statement, but great talent there. And then just looking at some of the others, you know, between East and Northwest, some of the guys there, off the top of my head, just naming a couple. Northwest has the linebacker, John Michael Fountain, is a class of 2026 guy. I know that Iowa State was there last week watching that game, watching him and Jalen Mason. Matt Campbell flew into Wichita to watch that game. I like John Michael Fountain a lot on the defense. Just some of the highlights that he made last week are incredible. Ian Premer, great Bend guy, number one player in 2026. Like a 6'6" twig, pretty much, but he's one of the stupidest athletic players in the state. We joke. We have a couple of stringers that live in Great Bend, so we get a lot of Great Bend content coming in, and the dude plays football, basketball, baseball, and track. And he's good at every single one of them. So we thought about just renaming the show the Ian Premer Show after how much he is dominating the Catch a Kansas show every week.
I love that. TJ, we've got just a quick moment left before we let you go. What do you guys have going on at Catch a Kansas? What are the other big games you guys are covering this weekend?
Yeah, one that didn't get mentioned that I want to bring up is Ark City at Andover Central. Last week, I think Ark City went 2-7 last year or 1-8 last year, something like that. They only picked up one win, and I think it was over Andover, now that I'm saying it. Last week, they beat Salina Central, who's a team that is constantly a great team in 5A. They've got one of the best quarterbacks in 5A, I think, in Jack Gordon. They went to Ark City. Ark City knocked them off by a point. Now they get Andover Central, a big test that you can get pretty much in the area in that classification. Andover Central is a great team. I expect them to be competing for a state championship this year. But Ark City, when you knock off a team like that, it's a statement. If they can knock off Andover Central, that's an even bigger statement. So that's one that we'll be watching tonight, definitely. So this week we've got Rachel Hallam and Brandon Zinner. Rachel was at Kansas State last week, so we kind of get the full staff coverage going tonight for the first time. So we'll have live coverage leading up to all the games on 12 News and then have the Catch a Kansas show. It's going to be a late one. I think we've got CW football, ACC tonight. So Catch a Chill will be about 2 in the morning. So make sure you're checking up on the website so you can catch all the games. There still will be coverage coming on, I promise, even if it's not there for you.
Yeah, it's going to be a late night. Get some rest leading up to it. Of course, you can get all the coverage at catchitkansas.com. And like you mentioned, TJ, make sure to check out the Catch a Kansas show. Enjoy the games this weekend, TJ. We're glad that we've got you on the program. We'll talk to you again next week.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
All right. There goes TJ Cleland, 12 News and Catch It Kansas. We're going to step aside for another timeout. We'll come back and wrap up the show next. It's Sports Daily on KFH.
And 1240 KFH.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppables bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. Get 6 times longer lasting freshness plus odor protection with Downy Unstoppables in-wash scent beads.